Good morning. Today's Daf and Yuma's Nun test. We are Nun Testament Aleph. We're starting with the word Zibai Zema. That's the second answer. So that, of course, means that there was already a first answer. And so let's get properly grounded so that we can start off with today's Daf. We are in the fifth parak, considerably longer parak here in the Masechta, and it deals with the Kohen Gadol going to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So this is the highlight of the day of Yom Kippur. The Kohen Gadol is going to go into an area that under normal circumstances you don't go year-round. And in doing so, he's going to be doing the Hazaos. He's going to be shechting two karbanos, the par of the Kohen Gadol and the seer, the seer LaHashem. Part of the Kohen Gadol is a private karban. We discussed that already earlier in the perek. Private karban, maybe a public karban as well. All right, maybe a bit of a hybrid. And shechting also on top of that, the seer LaHashem, there are two seerim. There's a lottery, a goral, in order to establish which one is LaHashem and which one's LaZazel. Later in the Masechta, we're going to come back to the seer LaZazel. We're going to discuss that in terms of what is happening with the seer LaZazel. And the dam of both the par and the seer are going to be sprinkled. Where are they going to be sprinkled? So three sets of hazalos, one in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, a second in the Heichal facing the Parochus, and a third is going to be by the Mizbeach HaZahav. So these three hazalos that are done with the blood of these two karbanos are really what is highlighting the day of Yom Kippur. We have been discussing now in this perek, sequentially, as per the day's order, the hazaos that are done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and we also already discussed the hazaos that are done on the Heichal. Remember, just a couple days ago, we asked the question: is the blood going to actually hit the paroches while he's sprinkling in the direction of the paroches? Oddly enough, that's a machlokas atanai, with one time, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yossi, saying, "Look, I was in Rome. I saw the blood on the paroches. I think it's pretty clear." And then finally, the third set of hazaos, which is going to be done on the Mizbeach proper. When it comes to the sets numbers 1 and 2, so the blood remains individualized. They're going to be sprinkled separately. First the par, then the seer, for both the Kosher Kedoshim and the Parochas. But when you get to the Mizbeach, so the blood's going to get mixed together. Wonderful question. It's also Machlokas HaTanayim, our Mishnah, Stam Mishnah that we saw a number of days ago, took the position that the bloods are mixed together, right? You pour into one cup, you pour back into the other cup, you get make sure that the bloods are evenly distributed, and then you're going to be doing hazos on the Mizbeach HaZahav. The Mizbeach HaZahav is, as we described yesterday, considerably smaller than that of the Mizbeach of the Azara. Mizbeach of the Azara is a towering structure of 9 amas tall and a base of 32 by 32 amas. It is a huge structure. You literally walk up using a ramp in order to get to the top. The top of the Mizbeach Hachitzon is approximately 18 feet in the air, and you use a ramp in order to walk up there. And you literally can do a sivuv. You can walk around it. Okay, good. The Mizbeach HaZahav, it's considerably smaller. It's 2 amas off the ground, right about 4 feet off the ground. It's 1 amma in both length and width. And so what you could literally do is you could stand in one place and you could do the hazaz on the four corners. So when doing the hazaz on the four corners in the Mizbeach HaZahav, so are you going to be walking around? You're going to be standing in one place? Okay, so that's the machlokas. We also saw that was open to a discussion as well. And if you're going to walk around, how are you going to walk around? So you're going to walk around clockwise or counterclockwise? So that's pretty much the machlokas that we last ended off with yesterday. And that is subject to a debate between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Yossi Aglili, I'm not going to go in the order presented. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says you go counterclockwise. You start in the southeast and then you make your way to the southwest, northwest, northeast, and you go counterclockwise. And as we pointed out yesterday, Rabbi Yossi Aglili is conventional. Because whenever you walk, let me just do the pattern for Rabbi Yossi Aglili again, because I think I did it wrong. So let me do it correctly. You start in the, right, I have it mapped out over here in my Gemara, and I still got it wrong. Okay, that happens. So you start in the northeast, you go northwest, you go to the southwest, you go to the southeast, according to Rav Yossi Aglili, okay? And counterclockwise is conventional, because we learned in yesterday's daf, kol pina shatapone, ein opone el yamin. You make a right-hand turn, right? You always make a right-hand turn. So the... We have makaros for this idea that you make right hand turns. So the general favoritism that they have towards the right, it's a pasuk in Chumash. So you make a right turn. So when you're going into a circle and you're making a right turn into the circle, so of course what you're going to do is you're going to go counterclockwise, and that's the orientation of Rav Yossi Aglili. Good. So he's conventional. Who is unconventional in this particular regard is Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva goes clockwise. So Rabbi Akiva going clockwise. So that's going to make for a left hand turn. So that's Shita's Rabbi Akiva. And according to Rabbi Akiva, you're going to be starting in the, now you're going to be starting in the southeast, southwest, northwest, and then you're going to end up in the northeast. Okay. So that is the machlok between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili. The Gemara wanted to try to give a shot behind the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, because you're going clockwise. It's unconventional to go clockwise. So what's the pshat behind Rabbi Akiva? So that's where we ended off with yesterday. The Gemara made one offering that we saw at the end of yesterday's daf, which is that according to Rabbi Akiva, this is not chutz. This is not the mizbech hachitzona. This is mizbech hapnimi. So it's not chutz. So according to Rabbi Akiva, even though outside convention would dictate that you go counterclockwise, but this is not outside. This is an unconventional area. In other words, this is the heichal. And so here in the Heichal, we don't have to do like we do outside. That's the Gemara's point. But then the Gemara followed up with a follow-up question, which is, okay, so I understand. So you're not gonna follow convention, but why be unconventional? Okay, so in other words, if you have a choice of going clockwise or counterclockwise, so just be conventional, go counterclockwise. To which the Gemara's response was, yeah, but the reason why, and this was the first approach that we saw yesterday, the reason why, according to Rabbi Akiva, we're going to be going clockwise is the following. Because consider now the following. He left the, he was on the west side of the Mizbech. He now has to go to the east side of the Mizbech. And if you remember yesterday, it's based on the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Vayatza, that he has to make a Yitzi, he has to make an exit. Now that does not, does not mean that he exits the Heichal. It just simply means he exits the restricted area. The area between the Mizbech and the Paroch is that's restricted area. Under normal circumstances, the Kohen's not going to be there. Even when offering the Chatzos HaPnimius of the Parlam Davar and the Seer of Avodah Zarah, he's not going to go into that restricted area. But in Yom Kippur, the second set of Hazalos are going to be done in that restricted area. He's going to be leaving, he's going to be exiting that restricted area. And in doing so, what he's going to end up doing is he's going to be passing the southwest corner of the Mizbech HaZahav, in order to find himself in the southeast corner. So now, what is he going to do? So he'll sprinkle on the southeast corner because that's where he is right now. But because he passed over the southwest corner, and because really he should have sprinkled over there based on the principle of Ein Ma'avir in Ala Mitzvos, and he passed over the Mitzvah, so therefore he goes back to the southwest corner. And now as long as you're going in that trajectory, so now continue going clockwise. Okay. That is all as per the Gemara that we saw in yesterday's daf. Let's now continue. E bayis ema. The Gemara now is going to give a second offering as we are now on the top of Nun Testament Aleph. E bayis ema. E svir lana kafa brego de kolam lo pligi di afin apanim echus va hachaba kamiflagi. Mar savar kafa biyana mar savar kafa brego. If you were walking around the Mizbeach, so then everyone would be in agreement that you go counterclockwise. But the Gemara is suggesting over here that maybe, according to Rabbi Akiva, you're not walking around the Mizbech, but rather this is a Kafa Biyad. You're just simply going around with your hand, meaning you're standing in one location going around with your hand. And so since you're going around with your hand, it does not require convention of going counterclockwise. Ibai Sam and the Gemara gives another answer. The Kuliyama Kafa Biyad Vahakabahaka Mifligi Marsav Yafin Yad Mirego Umar Savalo Yafinan. Maybe over here Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili are of the position that there's no walking. You're standing in one location and you're distributing the blood with just your hand and you're just simply reaching over. And now it's just a question of, look, both agree that you're doing it biyad and not Berego. And it's just a question of, are we learning Yad from Regel? Yes or no? That is another possibility. On this possibility, v'sefer Rav Yossi Aglili akafa biyad v'hamin diktani seifa. So the Gemara over here does not like this third possibility, balks at this third possibility. You know, you're telling me that according to Rav Yossi, you're not walking around? Of course, according to Rav Yossi, you're walking around. How do I know that? So the Gemara is going to construct an argument. Look, Go back to our mission that we saw in yesterday's daf, where it said, Rabbi Elazar Amar, Bim Kama Haya Omed, Umichate. So in the mission that we saw yesterday on Nun Chesamud Beis, there were two opinions, Tanakama and Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says you stand in your place, you stand in one location, which means, of course, that the Tanakama disagrees with that very point. The Tanakama of yesterday's Mishnah is of the position that you're walking around the Mizbeach. And we saw in the Mishnah yesterday, according to the Tanakama, you're walking in a counterclockwise position. Okay, now, Mechlal de Tanakama lo sirule. Ella, and we have to add a point, by the way, the Gemara doesn't fill in this blank, but we're going to fill in the blank, and the Tanakama is Rav Yosi Aglili. Now, obviously in the Mishnah it's anonymous, how do we know it's Rav Yosi Aglili? But the answer to that is really simple, because it's the same flight pattern as Rav Yosi Aglili that we know, meaning just match Rav Yosi Aglili that we saw in yesterday's Brisa to the Mishnah, and it's a perfect match. So the Tanakama of our Mishnah is Rav Yosi Aglili. So it's off the table to suggest that according to Rav Yosi Aglili, you are not walking around, but rather you're just with your hand reaching over and hitting the four corners. That's off the table. So that means to say that according to Rav Yosi Aglili, you're for sure walking around. So the Gemara says, Allah machvar to kedeshina meikara. Mar savar akafa biyadu, mar savar akafa brego. So the Gemara says, fine. Okay, so I retract that last suggestion that we just made. We're now going to go to, we're going to go back to two suggestions ago, and the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rav Yosi Aglili is whether the hakafa is done with your feet, you're walking around. That sheet is Rav Yosi Aglili. Since you're walking, you're going to follow a conventional path of walking, which is counterclockwise. And according to Rabbi Akiva, you're not going to be walking around, but rather you're just simply reaching and hitting the four corners. Since you're doing it biyad, it doesn't demand that you have to follow convention. And therefore, you're just simply going to be reaching, and you could do so in a clockwise fashion. It doesn't have to be counterclockwise. The next words of the Gemara Ibai Sema, let's take them out, right? As per the suggestion of the Vilna Gaon. And so, uveha kamiflagi. And the Gemara now says, and this is their machlokas. Mar savar savar de mizbech, panimi kesavar de mizbech achitzon. Mar savar kula mizbech panimi, bemakom chada karen de mizbech chitzon kai. And now the Gemara says like this. Look, we have a major mizbech and a mini mizbech. Okay, I know it sounds funny, but that's basically what we have. Now, the major mizbeach, again, that's the one in the Azara, as we described earlier this morning, it's a serious structure. And we're given very clear instructions in terms of how to navigate. You go up, you make a right-hand turn, you're walking counterclockwise around the mizbeach hachitzon. Good. That's been established. What the Gemara now is saying is that when we look at the mizbeach hazahav in the Azara, so it's a mini mizbeach. So what do you treat it as? There are actually two options that the Gemara just presented in terms of what we treat it as. So basically what we could treat it as is mini mizbeach. Okay, so on the outer mizbeach, we're walking around counterclockwise, the mini mizbeach. Now granted, this is where, you know, the parallel is not perfect, but you're not going to be walking onto the mizbeach. It's tiny. It's two amas high, one by one ama. You're not walking on it, and you're not walking around it while standing on top of it. That part's true. However, the first option is that basically we're going to try to treat it like just like the outer mizbeach. By the outer mizbeach, we're walking around counterclockwise. By the inner mizbeach, we're walking around counterclockwise. That's one possibility. The other possibility, it's so interesting. We're going to hear this twice this morning. The other possibility is that, do you know what the mizbeach hapanimi really is? It's a keren of the outer mizbeach. Now again, let's just go back to the outer mizbeach. Let's get a refresher of what the outer mizbeach looked like. So it was a square on top of a square on top of another square. Good. But when you get to the top, so what do you have? You're nine amas off the ground. Now in each one of the corners, what do you have? You have an additional square of one amma by one amma by one amma in each of the corners. That's what's called the Kronos HaMizbeach, right? Literally translates the horns of the Mizbeach. Okay, not the best translation, but you understand. In each one of the corners, you have a Karen. And in terms of various Karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, the blood is going to be applied to the actual Karen itself, notably the Chatas. But you have the Kronos. Could be, the Gemara says as a second possibility, that what the Mizbeach Hazav inside the Heichal represents is but one Karen. Meaning, don't look at it as a full Mizbeach, just simply look at it as a Karen. In terms of dimensions, it's a pretty close match. The length and the width. The Gemara doesn't identify, and all I'd be left to do is guessing. And I don't, you know, I'd rather not. Sorry. So good. And if you're saying now that it's a Keren, so now, obviously, by the Kronos, there is no, there's no directive in terms of how do you navigate a Keren, meaning a Keren is just that. It's just simply but one of the four corners of the Mizbeach. And since there's no directive in terms of how to navigate it, so it allows now the opportunity to not have to go in a counterclockwise fashion. And the Gemara says, and that could be another understanding of the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. Okay. Good. Adkan. That takes us now to the end of the first part of today's daf. We have now just covered some suggestions of the Gemara. What is the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili in terms of how the Kohen Gadol is going to be navigating around the Mizbeach Azav? Is he going to go counterclockwise, Rabbi Yossi Aglili? Is he going to go clockwise, Rabbi Akiva? And what is the basis of the machlokas? And the Gemara just went through a couple of suggestions in terms of what would be the Yisod HaMachlokas. Which one is accepted? No. Generally speaking, you have a machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili. We follow Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva mechavero. Okay. On the other hand, the Stam Mishnah that we learned yesterday is going like Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So, I can present arguments in either way. I just did. Okay, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Bimkoma Haya Omed Umichate. So Rabbi Eliezer says Bimkomo. You stand in one place. That's the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer of our Mishnah. Masisa Mani Rabbi Yehudi. Who's our Mishnah following? Now, here's one of those circumstances again where you have a double layer machlokas tanayim. Earlier tanayim, as we're going to see in just a moment, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer and whoever Rabbi Eliezer happens to be arguing with in our Mishnah, it's a Tanakama. We just said moments earlier that it's Rav Yossi Aglili. Okay, whatever. And so you have the earlier Tanaim, and then you have later Tanaim. Later Tanaim, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, they were some of the last generation of Tanaim. So and what happens, and we see it every now and then, is that we have a debate about from the later Tanaim in terms of what was the actual position of the earlier Tanaim. So it's a compound machlokas. So the Gemara is just simply going to point out that Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda, later tonight, argue in terms of what exactly is the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. And our Mishnah, in other words, once we see the Braisa, we're going to go back to the Mishnah, and we're going to just simply match, and we're going to find that our Mishnah matches with Reb Yehuda's version of Rabbi Eliezer, not Rabbi Meir. Okay, and it is a little bit strange, because generally speaking, what do we say when we have a Stam Mishnah? A Stam Mishnah is going like Reb Meir. It's not a wonderful question. Our Mishnah is not really a Stam Mishnah. Okay, but anyway. So, Masisa Mani Rabbi Yehudi Ditanya, we learned in the following Braisa, Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Bimkoma Omen Umechate. Ve'akulan Hayonosein Mimala Limata. Each one of them, you're going to be standing in one location according to Rabbi Eliezer. Again, reminder. This is Rabbi Meir's version of Rabbi Eliezer. You're standing in one location and you're always going Mimala Limata. You're always going flipping your hand in a downward motion. Chutz Me'oso Sheba Alachson. Except for the one that is diagonal from you. Shenosa Mimata Lamala, there you're going to go an upward direction. Good. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, now this is Rabbi Yehuda's version of Rabbi Eliezer. So that is Bimkama Omer, Mechate Al-Kulan, Hunosim Milamata Lamala, you're going upward for each of the corners, with notable exception, Chutz Mizu, except for the one that you're standing directly in front of Shaisa Lafanov, Mama Shenosim Mimalamata, there you're going a downward direction. Kihechi Dolo Nisvasa Mane, so that the clothing does not become dirty. Okay. So, in other words, now that you take the two versions of Rabbi Eliezer, and you go back to our Mishnah, and you look for a match, so you're going to find that our Mishnah matches with Rabbi Yehuda's version of Rabbi Eliezer, not Rabbi Meir. Okay, next. Hiza mimeno al tiarosho mizbeach. After hitting the four corners with the dam of the par and the seir, so now you're going to hit the tiarosho mizbeach. That's the Mishnah's description of the next step of the of this set of hazaos. And the question is very simple. What does that mean? So the Gemara now discusses. My tiharo. Ama rava barashila pagdim izbeach. So the Gemara's first suggestion is that it's talking about the center point of the mizbeach, meaning vertically. Pagdim izbeach idami inshi tiha tiharo. Vehave pagdiyuma. So, you know, when you go around, you speak to people. Okay, we don't speak Aramaic nowadays back and forth. But if you did, so, and it's midday, so you would say TRTRO. meaning it's like it's the brightest part of the day. Why? Because the sun is in the middle. So you see that the word tihar is a reference to middle. So the Gemara now is suggesting that the word tihar, as far as the mizbeach is concerned, is you're hitting the center, but the center of the vertical height of the mizbeach. Meisvei, the Gemara challenges, kishu mazeh no mazeh al lo al gabe ha'efer v'lo gabe ha'gachalim. So when sprinkling, make sure not to hit any of the ashes, not to make sure not to hit any coals. Elechotika chalim elech ve'elechu mazeh. What you got to do is you got to move coals to the side. There's no coals on the vertical. Coals, of course, are on the top. They're on the horizontal. And over here, make sure that when you're putting the blood application of the par and the seer on the tihar rosh mizbeach, make sure you don't hit any of the coals. It now becomes clear. We're not talking about the side of the mizbeach. We're now talking about the top of the mizbeach. Ela ama rava barshila. Okay, so the Gemara now says, okay, so now it happens to be, it's interesting. It's not a different amora. It's the same amora. So what must have happened is that he had a first suggestion. He then learned the brisa. Okay. And then he did an about face. Okay. The evidence would indicate otherwise. So he now says otherwise. So ala amar rava barav shila al gluye de mizbeach. So it's talking about the exposed part of the mizbeach, meaning the top of the mizbeach. Kidichsiv, the pasuk says, uchetzam hashamayim latoar. Okay. So good. So it's the top of the mizbeach, the very top of the mizbeach. Tanya chananya omer bitzat tzfoni hu nosein. Okay. The Gemara is going to bring down a number of positions. So now, which side are we talking about? Chananya is of the opinion that Sad Tzfoni. Look at Rashi over here. Chananya Omer B'Sad Tzfoni Ayinosin Kol Shev Azos Chananya Savar Pesach de Parochus Bedarom. So according to Chananya, the entrance of the Parochus is going to be in the south. If you recall, just a number of days ago, so we were deliberating the second base of Mikdash. So where do you go into the Kodesh Kadashim? Where do you come out of the Kodesh Kadashim? It's either going to be the south or the north. And it really is predicated on whether there are two curtains or whether or not there is one wall. So whether there's an amitraxin. So if there are two curtains, so that means that the entrance from the Heichal is going to be on the south. If it's one wall, that means that the entrance is going to be in the north. Okay, so what Hananya's position is that the entrance from and out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, once you go into the Heichal, is going to be in the south. Again, let's go back to Rashi. Kol Sheva Azos Chananya Sefer Pesach De Paroches Bedarim V'chinafik B'ma'arav Is Drom Is Pagam. And that means that now as you're approaching the Mizbeach, right, just visualize the Kohen now coming out of the south entrance of the Paroches, now walking to the Mizbeach. Obviously now he's going to be hitting the southwest side of the Mizbeach. So Pagavahasam lo yav bereisha chitu dekranus kedarmina adenafik lemezrachus dromis. And now remember, he's going to skip it over. Why? Because again, he has to exit the restricted area. And v'yayiv adel amaravus dromis l'smol mishum debahai chay bereisha kedarmina el. And then what we're going to do is we're going to go back to yesterday's daf. So since he passed it over, so basically mark the spot that he passed over. He's now going to go to the southeast. He's going to dip in the southeast, but then he's going to go back to the southwest, because ein ma'avir nala mitzvos, and then northwest, and then northeast. In other words, basically, the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. Okay, so basically what we could do is we could take this position of Chananya and align it with the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. So and now what comes out is the following. So upon the conclusion, where does he find himself upon concluding doing the four corners? He's going to now be in the north. Just follow the path, and you'll arrive at the same destination where the Gemara is at right now. So now he's going to end up in the north. So now that he's ending up in the north, so now when he's doing Tiarosh Mizbech, he's going to be standing in the north. All this is per the position of Chananya. So let's go back now to the Gemara. The Gemara Chananya Omer Bitzad Tzfoni Onosein. Reb Yossi Omer Bitzad Drami Onosein. And Reb Yossi says, no, he's going to be in the south. And now, how does he end up in the south? So hopefully you can figure it out. The Gemara is going to spell it out. Okay, and it's just a question of where is he coming out of the from the Kodesh HaKadoshim? He's coming out on the north side, coming out from the south side. Now again, let's do the north side. Meaning if he came out from the north side, so again, let's just go over his path. So if he goes over the north side, so now he's going to be, well, first he's going to stop to do the Hazos in the direction of the paroches. But then he's going to be walking to the Mizbeach. He is on the northern side. So now again, what is he going to do? He can't go to the northwest because it's restricted area. He's going to now go to the northeast. Now he'll start in the northeast and now he'll go counterclockwise. Northeast, northwest, southwest, southeast. Now that he ending up on the south side, now he's going to be doing the Hiazah on Tiyar Shom Mizbeach. He'll be standing on the south side. Okay, wonderful. Okay, now what comes out over here is that when he's doing Tiyar Rosh HaMizbech, it's wherever he ended from doing the four corners. And the Gemara wants to know, how do I know that? So my time, I'm a Kravi, Tiyar Rosh HaKidosho, Makam Shekidosho Sham Tiyar Rosh. Okay, the two words are back to back in the Chumash, and that means to say that the same Makam where he ended the Hazaos of the Kranos, that's where he's going to do the Tiyar Rosh HaMizbech, the top of the Mizbech. Shayari Adam Shofech HaYisom HaRavi Shel Mizbech HaChitzon. Now, the Shayari Adam, there's going to be blood left over from both the par and the seer. What is happening? So as we already discussed, and now the Gemara is going to be discussing in more detail today, that's what's called the Shayari Adam. And what happens to it? So by Chatos Panimis, it's going to be poured on the Yisod of the Adam Mizbech. Which part of the Yisod? Okay, so this too is going to be a Machlokas, as we're going to see now in the next section of our Gemara. Shayari dama yeshofech yisom harav shom mizbech hachitzon da'amar krav es kol dama apar yishpoch. V'chi nafik ba'hu paga bereshe. According to our Mishnah, it is done on the western side of the outer mizbech. And the Gemara here gives a really simple svara, and that is consider where he's coming from. He's coming from the Heichal. He's now walking out of the Heichal, so he's headed eastbound. But obviously, by heading eastbound, he's going to be hitting the western side of the Mizbeach, Hachitzon. And so therefore, the first side he is encountering, that's the side he's going to be doing the Hazah on, and that's the explanation of our Mishnah. That's why he's going to do the west side. Now, V'shal Mizbeach Hachitzon HaYeshofech HaYisod Dromis. Now, if you're doing an outer Chatas Karban, so then the Shayari Adam is going to be sprinkled on the southern Yisod. Now over here, I mean, I'll say it, it's pretty clear. The reason why is because that's the first side that you're hitting. In other words, what happens with a standard carbon chatas that's done on the outer Mizbeach? So you're going up the ramp, you're going to be hitting all four corners. Again, you're going to be walking counterclockwise, hitting all four corners. You're going to come down. And now when you come down from the ramp, what side are you on the Mizbeach? You're on the southern side of the Mizbeach. So now the closest you sow to you is going to be, I mean, you're going to have to walk alongside the ramp. But the side that's closest to you right now is the southern side. Tanu Rabbanan. The Gemara spends a little bit more time on this topic. Yisod Mizbech Zeh Yisod Dromis. Atahom Yisod Dromis. Oeinu Ela Yisod Maravis. Now, here in the Braisa says that the Shayari Adam of Yom Kippur is done on the southern side. What? All right? Our Mishnah said the western side. Okay, Machlokas. So the Atar Amar Yisod Dromis, Oein Ola Yisod Maravis. So the Amar Yilamed Yirid Asom in HaKefesh L'Siyah Asom in HaEichal. Ma Yisiyah Asom in HaEichal B'Samachlo. The Ezez Yisod Maravi. Af Yirid Asom in HaKefesh B'Samachlo. The Ezez Yisod Dromi. Sorry. According to this Brisa, I jumped ahead. According to this Brisa, it's closest. Right? The Shayari Adam is going to be poured on the Yisod that's closest to you. So on Yom Kippur, that's going to be the western side. On a standard chatos, it's going to be on the southern side. Okay. Tanya. Rabbi Shmuel Amar Zevet Zeh Yisod Maravi. So here's the machlokas. Okay, this is where I just jumped a little bit ahead, but here we are now. According to Rabbi Shmuel, both a standard chatos and the chatos of Yom Kippur are done on Yisod Maravi on the western side. Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai Amar Zevet Zeh Yisod Dromi. And according to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, it's going to be on the southern side. Now, according to Rabbi Shmuel, I do understand, meaning Rabbi Shmuel says that it's always going to go on the Maravi and Sasum Min HaMefurash, meaning that by a standard Chatas, the Torah just simply says the word Yisod, and the Torah never tells us where it is, meaning which Yisod. On the other hand, by Yom Kippur, so the Torah is a lot clearer. How do I know that? Well, it's not just Yom Kippur, but it's any Chatos HaPnimis. The Torah is clear. Rashi over here writes, min ha-mefurash, min ha-pnimios, shekasa bahem, al yisod ha-mizbech, asher pesach o'amoed, v'hu yisod ma-ravi. The Torah by Chatzos Panimio says you're going to be doing it on the side that faces the Heichal, which is obviously the western side. So by a standard Chatzos, the Torah just says the word Yesod. By Chatzos, the Panimio, the Torah actually says the western side. So Yelamed Sussum Minamafurush. That sheet is Rabbi Yishmael. Good. Ella Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai my time. But what's the Rashbi's reason in which you're always going to be doing the southern side? So Amar Rav Ashi Kasover Pitzcha B'Darim Kai. And the Gemara gives an answer. Rav Ashi gives an answer, and that is that when you come out of the Heichal, which side of the Mizbech you're going to see? So what you're going to see is you're going to see the southern side of the Mizbech. So how are you seeing the southern side of the Mizbech? So remember, we've gone over this numerous times. So the Mizbech is a moving target in terms of where it exists on the northern southern plane of the Azara, right? We debate this throughout Shas. Some have it centered. Some have it, moved up to the north. Some have it moved further down south. Okay, so what the Gemara suggests, as far as the Rashbi is concerned, is that when you're coming out of the Mizbech, you're seeing the southern side of the Mizbech, because the Mizbech itself is moved more to the north. Okay. So, Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, B'Debei Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Zevizeh, Yesod Dromis. So, and the Gemara quotes Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel. And he follows the Shita of the Rashbi, which is that it's going to be on the south. And V'Simancha Mashchua Gavrei LeGavra. And the Gemara says that the Gavrei were brought to the Gavra. The Gavra over here is Rashbi, right? That's one individual. Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel is, the Gemara assumes to be a group, and the group were drawn to the Rashbi, meaning that eventually he got them on board to say that it was the southern side, not the western side. Quick summary, three opinions in terms of where the Shayari Adam is going to be poured. And what we're doing is that we're looking at two Shayari Adam, that of the Chatas, standard Chatas, and that of the Chatas of Panimius, including the Chatos of Yom Kippur. One Shita, which happens to be our Mishnah Shita, is that it's going to be closest to Yisod. So when descending from the Mizbech with an outer Chatas, it's going to be it's going to be on the southern side. When coming out of the Heichal with the Chatos HaPanimios, it's going to be the western side. That's one Shita. And then two other Shitas is that it's always going to be the southern side. And the another Shita is it's always going to be the western side. Okay. Yeah. Right. So it goes up to the ramp. I'm just trying to think of where it ends. In other words, the bottom Yesod only really hits two walls, right? It goes, for sure there's a western one, and if I'm not mistaken, there's also a southern one as well. Right, and then basically what happens is that as far as the ramp is concerned, so you cut out a bottom on the ramp. It's a north and west. Thank you. And then the bends. And then you're hitting it on the L bracket. Okay. Fine. Okay. All right. Elav Elam Adarvin Bahama Vyotzin. Tana Rabbanan. Okay. Now, with the epilogue regarding the blood. So after the blood hits the Yesod, now what's going to happen is it's going to trickle into a canal. Exactly where this canal is, none of the pictures tell us, but obviously this small canal is running somewhere through the Azara, and basically what it does is it flushes out the Azara. In other words, so all liquids that are in the Azara, most of those liquids are going to be blood, are going to now hit the canal and flow out of the Mizbeach, and it's going to go to the valley, the Nachal Kidron. Now, as far as farmers is concerned, they love the blood. The blood's got plenty of nutrients, and it's great for fertilization. And I don't ask me, like, practically speaking, right? I don't know. But that's what they do with it. However, they're going to have to pay for it. In other words, they're going to find a temple treasure, or the temple treasure will find them, and they're going to have to pay for it. So the Mishnah says that on one hand, they can use it. On the other hand, they have to buy it. They have to purchase it. And the Mishnah ends off with the words, Umoalin Behen, subject to Me'ila. So when we saw the Mishnah yesterday, so I clarified, the Gemara is going to do this right now, that when we say that there's Me'ila, that does not mean Me'ila de Oraisa. It means that there's a din me'ila mid derabanan. The chachamim don't want people to get comfortable using even leftover carbon. When I say leftover carbon, meaning the mitzvah has been done already, but they just didn't want people to get into that practice, and therefore they charged. The farmers had to pay for it. It's a good question. I'm guessing, but I think I'm right. For all dumb. So Eilav Eilam Matarvim Ba'am of Yotz and Tana Rabbanim Mo'alam B'damim Diver Rabbi Meir. So Shitas Rabbi Meir is that there's a din me'ila by the blood. Rabbi Shimon v'chachamim. Sorry, Divrei Rabbi Meir v'Rabbi Shimon v'chachamim Omrim Ein Mo'alam Behen. And according to the chachamim, there is no me'ila ad kan lo pligi ela b'derabbanim. But even the Gemara acknowledges. Look, we just saw a debate whether there is or there is a me'ila, but the Gemara immediately acknowledges. The machlokis is only regarding a din derabanan, meaning mid araisa, there is no me'ila by the blood. That is kuli alma, that's according to everybody. And the only range of position there is over here, is there a me'ila mid derabanan, or is there no me'ila whatsoever? So the ava mid araisa, in mo'alam behen. But there is simply no me'ila. And as Tosus points out over here in the very top, right? Leave it to me to choose the shortest one, but it's a great clarification. The Tosfos on the very top points out, how does the Gemara know it's not me'ila min haTorah? He writes, the imi da'araisa lo yatsu, imi de'me'ila, heich nimkaren leganonim lezaval. Selling it to the farmers simply would not be an option. Meaning, look at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says there is me'ila and you can sell it to the farmers. Well, how could that be? Meaning, if there is me'ila, that means it's property of the Beis HaMikdash. And you can't just simply sell it to the farmers. So it must be that the me'ila of our Mishnah is a me'ila midrabanan. Otherwise, you simply don't have an option to sell it. Okay. So now, ava midaraisa ein mo'alam behem. Menahan emili. Okay, so what the Gemara over here is not so much going to do is flesh out with the machlokas between Rav Meir and the Chachamim, whether the me'ila is derabanan or is no me'ila at all. But what the Gemara over here is going to establish is, how do we know that there's no me'ila min haTorah? Meaning, why not? Meaning, it's kachim. So why is there no me'ilam in the Torah? So the Gemara is going to give a number of drushas. And really, we'll finish up our daf today. So, minani mili. So amar ulam akra lachem shalachem yehei. So the Torah says that when you have the dam, it'll be yours. Meaning, belong to you. Anytime you have a lachem is ownership. Ownership means it belongs to us. So, yehei. The blood is lichapir, it provides kapara, meaning it's functional in nature. The purpose, the goal of the blood is to provide kapara. And so therefore, not subject to me'ila. Rabbi Yochanan Amakra, hu lifnei kapara kala acha kapara. The pasuk says that it is hu, meaning it is going to be in the same state of being. It has one status. So malach kapara imbo meila, just like after kapara, there's no meila. Af lifnei kapara imbo meila, same thing is going to be true even lifnei kapara as well. So veim malach kapara kill lifnei kapara mal lifnei kapara yesh bo meila af lach kapara yesh bo meila. Gemara says, why don't we just simply reverse the argument and say that there is meila before kapara, there's meila after kapara? So the Gemara says, no, that's just simply an untenable position. Ein lecha davish anasas mitzvah umal mo'alim bo. The mitzvah is done and still subject and eligible to meila. Gemara says it is just simply unprecedented. We don't have anything where the mitzvah is done and it's subject to me'ilah. So to suggest that you did the hazaos and you poured the shayare dam on the yisodim mizbeach, the mitzvah has been performed, it's over. To suggest now that there's still going to be me'ilah, that's simply untenable. So now we know that there's no me'ilah after the mitzvah is done. And since the Torah says the word hu, that's always going to be in that same state. So just like there's going to be me'ilah, just like there is not going to be me'ilah after the mitzvah has been done, so too there's not going to be me'ilah even before the mitzvah has been done as well. Okay, so various drushas, three drushas in total, in terms of how we know that there's no me'ilah by the dam. The Gemara, we're going to stop over here tomorrow. Gemara's going to pick it up tomorrow with the Gemara's discussion regarding, you know, there are in fact other mitzvahs where the mitzvah has been done and there's still going to be there's still going to be me'ilah. Okay, those are exceptions. I'm going to give away some of tomorrow's daf. Those are exceptions, and that's not the rule. The rule is that once the mitzvah is done, there's no longer going to be me'ilah. Okay? Let's just quickly recap. Let's review our daf today. Our daf today, number one, first major topic, the machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili. When walking around the Mizbeach HaZahav, So which way do you go? Clockwise, counterclockwise. Rav Yossi Galili takes the conventional approach of counterclockwise. Rabbi Akiva takes the unconventional approach of going clockwise. And what we did over the course of today's daf is that we really provided the full picture of each of the shitas. So Rav Yossi Galili, let's start with him first. So that you're going conventional counterclockwise. So how come you're going counterclockwise? Because you always go counterclockwise. You always, when you're going into a circle, you're going to be making a right hand into the circle, right? And therefore, you're going to be, you're always going to be going counterclockwise, right? Think of any traffic circle. Again, just another, it's not a proof. It's just a great way to visualize it. I understand it's because we drive on the right side of the road, but okay, good. So we do things correctly. So the, but right, and you're in your traffic circle. So when you go into a traffic circle, you make a right. So you're going to be going counterclockwise. So how do we get there? So now to put basically all the Gemaras together today that we saw and to create a picture, it's very simple. Because what's happening is the following. You're coming now, the Kohen Gadol is coming out of the southern side of the Parochas. There are two curtains. He's coming out of the southern side. Now he's going to pause in that restricted area between the Mizbech and the Heichal, between the Mizbech and the Parochas, so that he's going to be doing the Hazos in the direction of the Parochas. How do you do the Hazos by the Parochas? So that's already an older daf. That's not today's daf, but it's Echa Lamala and Sheva Lamata, just like in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Then what he's going to be doing is that he's going to be going to the Mizbech HaZahav. Now, because he came out of the south, which side of the Mizbech HaZahav is he now on? So he's going to be on the southern side. Now, it's true the first corner he's going to be hitting is the southwest corner, according to Rav Yossi Galili, but you have to go past it. Because again, you have to do a Yitzia. You have to exit that entire restricted area. So now you're in the southeast. Now that you're in the southeast, so now you start with your hazaz, and according to Rav Yossi Galili, you're going to be walking around. Which direction? The conventional direction of counterclockwise. Good. That's all. And then at the end, now that you finish up on the northeast, what do you do? Seven on Tihar Hashem Mizbech. And what is Tihar Hashem Mizbech? So it took the Gemara a couple of attempts, but the Gemara concluded that Tihar Hashem Mizbech is the top of the Mizbech. Good. That is all Shitas Rav Yossi Galili. Now let's go over Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva now goes in an unconventional clockwise rotation around the Mizbeach. So why should that be for Rabbi Akiva? So the Gemara offered a couple of suggestions over the course of today's daf. One suggestion of the Gemara, well, first of all, according to Rabbi Akiva, you're coming out on the north side of the Parochis, meaning according to Rabbi Akiva, presumably, ostensibly, he's of the position that you're exiting on the north side. So therefore, your path towards the Mizbeach is more of a northbound path. So you're first coming out on the north side. Sorry. According to Rabbi Akiva, south side. Okay. I'm looking at my pictures. It's really fantastic. Okay. How do I make that mistake? According to Rabbi Akiva, you're coming out on the south side. So now again, you're passing the southwest. You're going to the southeast. Now you're going to go back to the southwest. Why? Because Ein Mavir Nola Mitzvos. Okay, and therefore you're going to take the unconventional path of going clockwise. Now, for Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara tried on a couple of pshatim in terms of why you're going clockwise. So number one, like we said, Ein Mavir Nola Mitzvos. Number two, maybe because you're going around with your hand and not your feet. And when you do your hand, you don't have to follow the conventional path of counterclockwise. The Gemara also tried on a third pshat for Rabbi Akiva, and that is, look, the Mizbeach is certainly a mini outer Mizbeach. But what does that mean? Is it basically a total miniature, meaning that the inner Mizbech, the Mizbech Hazav, is basically a full miniature of the outer Mizbech, and just like by the outer Mizbech, we go counterclockwise, by the inner Mizbech you do the same? Or maybe no. Maybe what the inner Mizbech is just simply a Keren of the outer Mizbech. And if it's a Keren of the outer Mizbech, well, there's nothing dictating how we go around a Keren. Okay, that's a... That was also another pshat that the Gemara offered. Okay, next to review is our Mishnah when it says that Shitas Rabbi Eliezer. Exactly, you're standing in one spot and you're moving your arm around and doing the hazos on the four corners just by simply extending your arm. So there are two versions of Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir. Our Mishnah follows the Rabbi Yehuda version. Good. The Gemara's clarification of Tihar Shel Mizbeach. Then the Gemara on the bottom of the Amud Aleph went over the Shayari Hadam. You're finished with the Dam Chatas of the Par and the Seir in terms of Hazau. So the next step and the final step is pouring it on the Yesod HaMizbeach, on the base of the Mizbeach. Now the base of the Mizbeach It goes around the Mizbech, not entirely. Okay, other Gemaras discuss why that is. But the base of the Mizbech goes around. So which side are you going to hit? You're going to hit the south, you're going to hit the west? Machlokas. Three opinions on this matter in terms of which you're going to hit. According to Rabbi Yishmael, you're always going to be hitting the western side. According to the Rashbi, you're always hitting the southern side. And according to our Mishnah, which is also recorded in a couple of braces that we saw this morning, closest. When you're coming out of the Heichal, the western is the closest. When you're walking down the ramp of the Adam Mizbech with a standard Chatas Hachitzona, so you're doing the southern side, closest you say. And finally, our last point of topic of discussion today was the Dam of a Karban Chatas, not subject to Me'ila Mid Araisa. Mid Rabbanon, maybe yes, maybe no, Machlokas, but not subject to Me'ila Mid Araisa. Why? So the Gemara gave on the Amud Beis three drushas in terms of why that should be. The third drusha is that, it just like we know that after the Hazaras, after the mitzvahs are done, not subject to Me'ila, so the Torah says who? It's always in that same state. Just like it is not have Me'ila after the mitzvah has been done, it also does not have Me'ila before the mitzvah is done as well. And how do we know that after the mitzvah is done, there's no Me'ila? Because that's the rule. After you do any mitzvah, it is no longer subject to Me'ila. And tomorrow we'll start off with the exceptions to the rule.